we're going to go into 2 Peter. I have a few Sundays before Palm Sunday and Easter, and I wanted to pick a book that I thought I could get through. And this kind of dovetails into the series I did on the walking in the Spirit, the new way of the Spirit. And Peter the Apostle supports what Paul wrote, because the Holy Spirit is the one who authors the Bible. Even though you have different men like Paul, Peter, James, John, etc., write, the author is the Holy Spirit, so the same things are emphasized in the Scripture, even though it's through different people. Peter in this book says, and I thought to myself, what would it be that the people that walked with Jesus, that were his friends, that experienced him personally, what would they say to people that never heard of him or never knew him? What would be the information that they would want to disseminate to the people that they met? And that's why we have these writings in the New Testament. These are the things that you need to understand. Peter experienced Jesus Christ. He was one of his closest friends, him, James, and John. They were really close to Jesus Christ in friendship, not just in position. They were friends with him. And what was it that Jesus did in these people's lives? And what is it that we need to understand from it? At the end of this book, this is the last time you hear from the Apostle Peter, because he even says in this book that the Lord is showing him that he's going to put off his body and go into eternity. So he's writing this book with that in mind. He said, this is pretty important. What I want to tell you is pretty important. At the end of the book, he says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in it. I've been telling you through the other series that I went through that Christianity is meant to function and work just like anything else that God has created. When you look out and you see all these trees blooming and the pollen coming out and the birds coming back and all this stuff happening, it's because in the creation, God created things to work and to function, and they function perfectly because God is a great creator. He understands how things work, and he designed them, and he designed them to work and to function. Christianity is to function as well. It is not supposed to simply be some weird religion. It is a teaching and an experience with God that when it comes into your life, you start to get in, if you will, in line with him, and you start to see the functioning of what Christianity does in your life, and you start to experience the fruit of it and even the prosperity of it, because there is a great prosperity in the gospel. That's, it's not just financial. It's mental, it's spiritual, it's indescribable. To grow in this grace and this knowledge, what does it mean? So let's go along. To grow in grace is to know who it comes from. As I said, and I always say, that Christianity is not a religion. It is a relationship and a friendship with you and your God. That's what Christianity is. It is not a man-made system of do's and don'ts, an ethical standard. Yes, there are ethics in it, and there are morals in it, but it comes from knowing the person from whom all ethics and morals come from. It's knowing God. Christianity is to know a person, okay? We are to grow in grace. So how do I grow in grace? How do I get my Christianity to do better in my life? By getting to know God better. As you get to know God better, just like with anything that you do in life, play tennis, for example. I go play tennis with Ron Heil, okay? He's 80, maybe more than 80, I don't know. He beats me. And I play him because when you play somebody better than you, you get better, right? At that particular subject, whatever it is. Music, same way, or any talent that there is. So when you get to know God and get to know him better and better, you start to know his person and the things that are important, and you start to grow. You start to grow in the ways that God is. Simon Peter, a servant of the and apostle of Jesus Christ. I love the way he introduces this. Here's why I love it. He calls himself Peter, you know, his given name, and then he calls himself a servant first, and that's that word diakonos in Greek, servants. All apostles considered themselves to be servants. This teaching took a long time for the apostles to grasp, because many of them, including Judas, followed Jesus for position's sake. They wanted to be close to power because they thought that then they'll be given some position of power. And that's the way the world does things, and Jesus continued to rebuke them about that and said, it's not that way with us. Because in the kingdom of God, to be the greatest is to be the servant of all. even at the Last Supper, they were jockeying for position at the table, remember? And it was Judas who got to sit right next to him, and he betrayed him, stuck a knife right in his back. So they did learn the lesson eventually, and he starts calling, it's all of them did this. They call themselves, I'm a servant, I'm a bondservant, I'm a slave, Paul would say, of Jesus Christ. So before he said, I'm Peter, I'm the great apostle, I was friends with Jesus, he's very humble in the way he approaches this. He says, I'm a servant. That means that I do the beckoning of my master. And yes, I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. He appointed me to be a leader in his church, but to be a leader in his church means to be a servant first. To those who through righteousness, the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, now that's one of the scriptures that you need to at least put it in your mind mentally when you're speaking to people who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Peter called Jesus Christ God and Savior. Our God and Savior, Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. You've received a faith like the faith that the leadership of the church has. In other words, even though they were best friends with Jesus Christ on earth, and even though they got to see him personally, they are no more spiritual than the person who receives Christ 1,000 years later. We all have the same faith, a precious faith, as precious as the apostles. There is no hierarchy in Christianity of position. Peter isn't in some higher position than we are. He is saved as you and I are saved by faith in Christ. So I love this about Christianity. There is no pecking order. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So to grow in grace is to know him, to have a relationship with this God, with Jesus Christ. And that's the genius of Christianity. That's different than all other religions on earth. They're all man-made. This relationship of people in relationship with their God, directly in relationship with him, not through some religious system, but directly in relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, they can grow. And they can have a fruitful, productive, dynamic relationship with God, just as the apostles. Now, to grow in grace is to apprehend what God grants. He's already given to us, as I said at the introduction. Christianity is meant to function. Right now, my peach tree is full of blooms, and so is my plum tree. I'm waiting for the cherry and the apple tree to bloom. And I'm getting all my covers out so for the frosts and all of that, because I always do that to try to save them so I get fruit. It works. Christianity works, but you need to apprehend what he's already given. He's given us how it works. So a lot of Christians that struggle in their lives, I believe, because I look at myself and I know that when I don't surrender myself to the will of God and his Holy Spirit and his giftedness, and I start to impose my own will and my own flesh, if you will, then I have trouble. And I've noticed this with myself and many other people all around me. His divine power, says Peter, God's divine power has granted to us, to all Christians, everything pertaining to life and godliness. It's not something that you need to strive for. It's there. It's for you. He's given it to us. He gave us his son. Paul the Apostle said, he who did not spare his son, how will he not give us all things? So everything has been given to us pertaining to life and godliness. You don't need to search for some extra holy thing or go be a monk in a cave somewhere and find some kind of a secret nirvana with God. It's not that at all. Every Christian can have and has access to the same godliness, to the same power, through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So you are to apprehend what God has given. All you have to do is see in the scriptures and say, wow, he's granted this to all his people. So I'm one of his people. It's for me too. Yes, it is. It's for you also. To grow in grace is to escape the corruption of the world. This is an amazing concept, and I didn't have time to mine it as much as I wanted to. I had a kind of a strange week, but look at this. Whereby are given unto us, I use the King James in this, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, so let's just kind of parse this a little bit. So given unto us, God give to us, he's given to us great and precious promises. Now, when God makes a promise, since there's no one else, it says in the scripture, by which he may secure a promise, he swears by his own self. So therefore, his promises are as good as anything that you can imagine. They're the best thing to trust in than anything else. The promises of God are so unshakable and so permanent that they will outlast even the physical creation itself. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will remain. So God's promises are so powerful that you can trust in them even when you leave this earth, when you leave your body and you're now in the spirit realm. You can trust in what God has said. That's why David was able to say what he said in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because all of us will, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So God is able to take us from this world into the next. And we can trust that. They're great. They're precious promises. There's tons and tons of promises in the Bible. Follow me, taste and see if I am good. He who believes in me, according to the scriptures, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of everlasting life. I mean, there's so much given to the Christian. You need to know these promises. And look what it says here. So that you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, this is in contrast to something that happened in the Garden of Eden. Lucifer tempted Adam and Eve with the notion that if you disobey what God said not to do, you'll become like him. You'll become gods like him. So just don't listen to him, listen to me, and violate his word, and then you'll be like God. You'll know good and evil. But here the Bible says, well, guess what the real plan of God always was? He's going to share everything with his people anyway. You didn't have to violate his word. All you had to do was wait for him. So by surrendering to him, by listening to him, by accepting what he has done for you, you can partake in the divine nature. This does not mean or imply that Christians are going to become gods. They will become godlike, the Bible teaches. They will be very amazing in eternity. You won't recognize Bruce, that's for sure. I had to do that one, Bruce. I wonder if he'll still joke there. I hope we can joke in heaven too. Well, it will be a joke. You'll be there. Anyway, we have fun. We have fun. The divine nature of God is such that we will partake in it, but we won't be God. You see the difference here? We'll partake in his nature and divinity, but we won't be divinity. Most false religions, all false religions, as a matter of fact, teach even evolution that we are going to become better and better and we'll become gods. This is not a correct biblical teaching. We are not, cannot, or ever will be gods. Because God, there's only one being who has that position. And there are no openings in that position. He's not taking applications for somebody to take over. There's one God, and that's all. Okay? You and I get to partake with him, but that's it. Having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust, that's an amazing sentence in Greek. I was like, wow, this is really weird. It's to escape what has come into this world. The word there is covetousness, that is in the world through covetousness. What was the covetousness that came in at the Garden of Eden? That you could be God. It was a covetousness of the position of God. And you can escape this corruption because that is a corrupt thought that I'll be God. Evolution, I'm going to get better and better, and one day I'm going to be this evolved creature, and I'll be almighty. Wrong. Evil teaching. That was introduced by Lucifer way back in the Garden of Eden. He just morphs it into different things and into different man-made religions through time. Many religions teach the same thing. Christianity does not teach it. We will escape that false teaching by being in the precious promises and the relationship with our God, which will be for forever. It's an amazing thing, and I'd like to mine this a lot more, and I will in the future, but it's really cool. To grow in grace is to walk in the ways of the Spirit. That's why I said Peter dovetails with what I just taught over the past few weeks about the new way of the Spirit introduced in Romans, that God has given to us a lifestyle that works and functions well if you listen to him, if you submit to him. The big ifs in the scriptures as to whether or not a Christian decides to really give themselves all the way to him. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity or love. That's the word agape. So what are we seeing here? We're seeing Peter list the very same things that Paul listed for us about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, brotherly love or agape, okay? These things are the ways of the Spirit. So if you want to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to walk in the ways of the Spirit. Remember last week, keep in step with the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, don't give in to the flesh. This stuff works and works well. I have been really trying to implement this in my life. When I find myself becoming irritated or impatient about something, I'll ask the Lord, please help me to have your patience in this situation or in my reaction. And you know what? It actually does work. When I control myself and my words, sometimes I lose it. You know, I get real Trump-like sometimes and I tweet it before I think. You know, I send it out. Oh, no, I wish I wouldn't have sent that. I wish I wouldn't have said that. I've never admitted whom I voted for, by the way. In from the pulpit, because I don't like to do that. But I felt, and I have always felt, that America is in a perilous place. Perilous because we are on the edge of losing everything that is American, meaning the freedoms and the things that were given to us by the forefathers are in danger of being lost forever. I fear that when we are all gone, this generation of Americans are all gone, if the younger subsequent generations to us don't apprehend the great things that have been given to us through what has been granted to us by God, I maintain, that America will cease to exist. There'll be no more America, because how can there be if they don't love the God who allowed this country to come into being? And I know that when I preach this way, for some reason, it evokes a lot of reaction from people. I've lost people over this thing, but that's okay, because I want to tell people that a prophet should always confront the kings and the leaders of the times, because if they don't, they're not doing their job. Okay, I'm not in a popularity contest. We are not seeking to get a Gallup poll that says that you Christians are nice people and we like you and you say so nice things for us and we really like you. That's not what we're here for. We're salt. A salt is a preservative. It also stings when you put it in a wound. We're light. Light exposes things in darkness. I mean, that's what we're here for. If we're not, then we may as well pack up and go home. So we should walk in the ways of the Spirit. We do this by walking in love and in patience and in kindness and in all these things that are being encouraged. To grow in grace is to walk in the ways of the Spirit. Now, it's also to bring forth the fruit of it. I mentioned last week that when Jesus came upon the fig tree that had no fruit on it, he cursed it and it withered. Remember that? He said to his people that he was looking for the fruit of the kingdom from them. Since I can't find it in you, he told Israel, I will send it to a people who will produce its fruit. So what is the fruit that God is looking for from his kingdom, from his grace? What is he looking for from us? Well, I'm looking for peaches from my peach tree. I'm looking for plums from my plum tree, etc. And I'll do everything I can to make sure that that happens, including put lamps under it and covers over it so that the frost doesn't kill the blooms, so that I'll have the fruit. God's looking for fruit in us, in you. If these things are yours, what things? The things we just talked about, the ways of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, all of the stuff that God asks and instructs us to have. If they're yours and abound in you, in other words, if they continue to get bigger and greater inside of your life, all these ways of the Spirit, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. Isn't that neat? Barrenness used to be kind of considered to be a curse. Many of the Israelite leadership women, like Abraham's wife, Isaac's wife, Jacob's, they had problems with barrenness. Barrenness was considered to be a curse. And Jesus went up to the fig tree and it was barren. It had nothing in it. He looks for fruit. Okay? And he says, if you live this way, if you let the Lord do what he needs to do in your life and fill you with the fruits of the Spirit, you won't be unfruitful or barren in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't need a preacher, really. You really don't. The preacher is only there to kind of spur you and encourage you on. But you need somebody that's with you every day, every moment of every day. And that's the Holy Spirit and the Word and God himself. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you to the end of the age. So we need him. And if you continue in these things, because he loves gentleness, patience, peace, kindness, forgiveness. And if he sees that in you, he'll fellowship with you more and more deeply. And you will continue to grow in this knowledge of Jesus Christ. Things will happen in the world or in your life. And they won't perturb you because you'll be secure in who he is and what he is. When my son died, I wasn't knocked out of the water. And I was like, wow, where's this coming from? Because I've seen people get knocked out of not just the water. They give up on life when somebody that they love dies. And I go, wow, this got to be coming from God because it's not from me. How come I still have this phenomenal trust and peace in him and in his plan? It's like, wow. You know, because most people say, I could never go through that. You don't know. I didn't know if I could ever go through it. I certainly didn't want to, but by going through it, I have found that God's promises to be with you in all things, it's true. Amen. Now, not to grow in grace. If you don't grow in it as a Christian, because it's inferred here, not just here, by Paul also and by Jesus too, is spiritual blindness and forgetfulness. There's nothing worse than this. He who lacks these things, what things? The ways of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. I loved what came out from my mouth last week about God, the God of the universe, who has all power. He wields all power through his character traits in the Spirit, through self-control, through love, through forgiveness. He wields all power through that. That's amazing to me, that God, the Creator and the all-powerful, almighty God, has something called self-control. I love that. He who lacks these things is short-sighted. Short-sighted is another... I'm nearsighted, okay? I can't see you at all right now. Blob, okay? I'm nearsighted. I have to read like this. To see distance, I have to have these glasses. You're short-sighted, even to blindness. And as forgotten, he was cleansed from his old sins. Now, that's an amazing thing to say by the Apostle Peter. If you forget as a Christian what happened to you when you came to God, then you've become blinded. And you've had spiritual dementia, if you will. So to get back to what you need to know is to always go back to the basics, okay? To grow in grace attends to spiritual health. Spiritual health is habits that you need to have in your life. Bible reading, prayer, fellowship. Fellowship is paramount in the Christian experience because in fellowshipping with other people that are different than you, it challenges you to exercise love, patience, forgiveness. It challenges you because you've got to get around Bruce. Anyway, therefore, my brothers, today's Bruce's day, right? Well, it was St. Patrick's Day the other day, so. Therefore, my brothers, be all more eager to make your calling and election sure. Be all more eager to make your calling and election sure. That sounds interesting. Does this mean I have to work for my salvation? No. It means work at your salvation and so that you grow. And it continues to confirm, yes, I'm chosen of God. It confirms in you, yes, because the devil will come to you and say, you're not a Christian. Look at the way you behave. Well, stop behaving that way so that he can stop saying that about you. Okay, you get this? For if you do these things, what things? The ways of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, turn the other cheek, walk the extra mile, love your enemy. If you do these things, you'll never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A rich welcome. Isn't that a neat thing? Well done, thou good and thou faithful servant. Enter into the inheritance prepared for you. Isn't that an amazing thing to think that God's going to say, welcome, Mel. Welcome. Like he said to Kenny recently, welcome, Kenny. You were at Grace Community Church. Wow, that was a tough assignment, right? Because it is. Every place that he assigns us to is a tough assignment, right? So attend to your spiritual health. My daughter goes to the gym all the time, all the time. She's in total shape, and I'm like, she goes for a walk. I'm like, stop, slow down. To grow in grace constantly recalls the fundamentals of faith, the basics. He says this, I always remind you of these things. I always remind you of these things. This is the Apostle Paul. I mean, Peter, rather. This is Peter, Jesus' friends, and he's saying, you've got to remember the basics. Even though you know them, we know these things. We've been taught these things all our lives, ever since we've been going to church and Sunday school and Bible study and all of that. We've heard it and heard it. But don't forget, like James said, if you only hear and don't do, you forget. So he goes, I always remind you, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. So to grow in grace is to be constantly recalling the fundamentals. Let's stand and read this together. The passage that we just went through. We'll read it just to remind ourselves. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and is forgotten he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fail, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Lord, bless your people. You have blessed them. You have said that you have blessed them. And these promises are given unto us. Now help us to apprehend them, to walk in them, to live in them, to grow in them. For that is the admonition of the whole Scriptures, to grow, to produce fruit, to grow for forever, to be fruitful for forever, to have eternal life for forever. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.